Continuing our mock draft series, we did week one. Oh my God. Round one, 1 week ago. Strike that, reverse it. Today we're doing round two. I want to give you guys a round one recap from 1 week ago. 101, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers, J.J. McCarthy, Rome Odunze, Xavier Worthy, Michael Penix, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey was Mitch's last pick at 112. Mitch, before we get started on round two, are there any guys that stand out to you that you would want to reevaluate 1 week later?
I could be stubborn and just be like, no, I'm not. Worthy's the only guy that I would want to probably draft a little bit lower. I'm okay with where I took him, but you know, we took him right after the combine, you know, right after we saw everything. And the talk now is he could be slipping in the NFL draft. I still don't think it's actually going to happen, but he's the one guy to where I would have to back off a little bit if we were going to change things.
I actually, and again, it's so funny because, right, like nothing has happened.
No.
Like it's just, we're kind of getting kind of reports. Are they really reports? We don't know. How much smoke is in the air? Like, this is smokescreen season. Honestly, I cannot wait until next Thursday for the NFL draft. Mitch and I are going to be live Thursday and Friday for, 10, 11 hours combined. And then we'll spit out some mini episodes and throw that out on the feed over the course of the next few days to get everybody ready for their rookie drafts. But, like, Xavier Worthy, like, I have moved him down a tier just because I think there is that chance that he does slip in the NFL draft. And maybe it's kind of like that, like Jalen Hyde, I thought was going to go a little bit sooner last year. Josh Downs, I thought was going to go a little bit sooner. Again, their story is not quite written yet, but if these teams look at it this way, and are they always right? Certainly not, but that could be a concern. Dan, you got your final boss shirt on right from WrestleMania. I don't want to spend too much time talking about wrestling, but that main event was an all-timer.
I'm happy because you were a little down night one, man, as I hopped into Discord there. But, man, it was an awesome experience for my boy and I. I'm taking all that WrestleMania energy into the show to help our Dynasty listeners win championships. For me to win another mock draft here, hot off that round one pick. So JB, man, it was awesome. And I'm still on a high. I really am.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Well, tippy time, JB. I even got a tippy time autograph here somewhere.
Where I'm sure you did. Put that Phillies belt away. My Pirates.
You won yesterday.
Against my Pirates. They're my Pirates when they have a winning record. If they have a losing record, I don't know who they are. So Dan, are you still good with Michael Penix at 110?
Buddy, I think that's the hot pick of round one there, and you were very kind, you know, the last episode when Mitch was living the high life to give me some props on that pick. I do believe he's going in the first round. You know, unfortunately, here in Pennsylvania on DraftKings, I can't make that wager to pick him to go in the first round because I would. I really like the kid, man. I really do. I liked how he looked in that bowl game going back to then. I think he had a tough O-line situation. I know there were some earlier injury concerns in his career, but I'm not worried about that. I'm really not. I'm all in on him. So I was quarterback crazy in round one, and it fell to me that way.
All right. Well, without further ado, and I didn't pick him, but Xavier Worthy, Mitch, that also would have been my guy. That
of course you wouldn't have picked one of yours. That makes sense. You call out both of ours, and you're like, no, my picks were all great.
I mean, but. There was a good chance I would have picked Worthy. I mean, I got Odunze at 108. What do you guys want from me? Like I told you, that was the steal. And then I got Brian Thomas Jr. at 111. I know some people are down on him, but man, like loving that mock, loving that first round.
I think Thomas felt to you nicely there, JB. That was solid. And I think that was one where, I mean, again, who knows? Xavier Worthy was a little rich for me, Mitch. He could be good. It's just the size thing that kind of curtails me and such a deep draft. Like, I think you look at a Brian Thomas, and he's got that prototypical body, and I definitely hop on him. And then Ladd McConkey, that was the other one at 12, might have been a little rich for me. He's a Georgia guy, so I love him, and I think he's going to be good. But I still have that back nagging back thing in my mind. And with some of this talent that's on this board here in the second round, boys, that we're about to pick, I'm salivating a little bit.
I'll give you guys the first round, but I guarantee you both are going to completely mess up the second round. John, we're going to be talking about this, I don't know, whatever. And as we're talking about, you know, actually watching tape, and I'm just going to win. So it's going to be fair.
Listen, Dan, I know the second round is enticing as we stand here today, but on the pivot point on the Dynasty Theory Patreon the last 2 weeks, Mitch and I have done a redraft of the 2021 and 2022 rookie drafts. And next weekend, leading up to the 24 NFL draft, we're going to look at 2023. And as time goes on, that second round gets
it's horrible.
Uglier and uglier. Okay. So there's a lot of hope right now. Mm-hmm. I'm loving all these leagues that I have. I'm loaded up on second round draft picks, but let's see how it plays out. So Dan, without further ado, time out already.
We got to have some further ado. I just love that you share that, JB, like that exercise that you and Mitch are going through, like that's taking our 4 years of draft data as we started this in 21, 22, 23. So our listeners that have been along the ride for us, you know, you're starting to see some trends and that's what we hope to get, where you're saying, hey, buyer beware in this second round. So I'm interested to hear more about that and dive in today.
All right, well, Dan, you have – there we go. Dan, you have the 201.
This is a pressure-packed pick, guys. So we go back to the first round. I see two names potentially that should have went in the first round that Mitch should have gobbled up at least one of them, I think. And I'm thinking he should have gobbled up at least one of them. But I'm going to go with I think is the safe pick and what I think is going to be the RB1 in this draft, the Cowboys in the second round. He went on one of the visits to Cowboys Stadium, and I'm going to go with Jonathan Brooks. Just he's got the vision. He's got the hands. He's a three-down back. The Cowboys team doctor knows his team doctor, so they got the good report. So if they don't take him, that means either some other running back is better than him or someone picks someone higher. But I like Jonathan Brooks here to start the second round.
I mean, honestly, I have no issue with Brooks. I do think there's a very good chance he is, in fact, the first running back off the board. Is it going to be to Dallas? We'll see. I know a lot of people are mocking him there, and there is that narrative with the doctors and all that good stuff. But, you know, if he's dropping for people, and Mitch, you said nope when that pick was made. If he's
the running back one.
But if he's dropping for people, I know a lot of people are looking at it because of the injury. You know, if he's the running back one off the board in the NFL draft, goes to a nice landing spot, you assume he's going to recover here eventually. It's hard to believe that he's going to slip for people just because of the injury. But Mitch, you're saying you don't have him as the running back one.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to tell you who. Nobody knows who I have as the running back one, so I'm not going to tell you who he is now. I'm afraid John's going to snipe me here.
Well, we all know you love Blake Corb.
Well, really? You have to ruin the suspense for 2 minutes? Really? Wow.
Well, before John goes and before Mitch goes into that running back, so like there's an asterisk with my pick with Jonathan Brooks. So this is pre-draft. This is me willing into the world, the Cowboys RB1, and you know I've got to have them. But there are a few running backs that if they do go higher than Brooks, I'm going to pivot come post NFL draft. And there's also one wide receiver on the board here that if I wasn't chasing the Cowboys running back, if I'm not chasing a running back, it's probably the smartest pick to start the first round. So yep. I think it's good to have a little context with why I'm taking that first pick. Right now, it's a roll on the dice that he's the RB1 and that he's going to Dallas. But John might easily just, you know, celebrate the day with his pick coming up here.
Yeah, we'll stick with a running back here. And it's going to be initially my running back one. But I have these two guys tiered together with Jonathan Brooks and my guy, Trey Benson. I know a lot of people are saying that they don't see the three down skill set with him. He gave enough in the passing game in college. You look at his reception market share, his receiving yard market share, college dominator. Like he gave enough in that category. And with the context of that team, and especially as the season progressed, like he was efficient enough, especially compared to the other running backs in the backfield. So for me, Trey Benson, I feel comfortable and confident enough that he's a day two back, all right, in the NFL draft. He's going to give you the possibility to give you that three down skill set. So for me, at 202, I'll keep the running back train going with Trey Benson.
JB, this is getting really juicy right now. And I got my draft day, my Cowboys draft day hat already. It came in the mail. So I'm all ready to go, okay? But now if Mitch truly believes that his running back one is better than ours, JB, because I could easily flip a coin and flip to Benson over Brooks very easily. But I am not flipping to whoever number three is. But if Mitch has conviction coming up here, he will pass the best available guy on the board to take his running back. I'm very intrigued right now.
No, we are doing a mock draft. I know you two. So Dan
is trying to trap Mitch right here. Yes,
I know what's going to happen. I'm actually going to take the wide receiver that is going to go in the first round of the NFL draft this year in A.D. Mitchell. He just missed. Good. You know, it's while I would love to take the running back here, as of right now, if we're doing a draft today and I don't have to hope someone lands on a certain team in order for their stock to be good, I'm just going to take the best wide receiver on the board right now.
Mitch may have landed the best second round pick in four years of mock drafting here, JB, because you and I went running back. Just that we may regret it.
I would like to veto that, challenge that. If I have my gentlemen, you forget that I took Amon-Ra St. Brown at 208 back in the day.
That was a gift.
That, in fact,
that was the NFL
greatest second round pick in history of Dynasty Theory.
John Bauer has won that challenge. First down.
But then he lost it immediately afterwards.
Let me ask a question. Adonai Mitchell is going to be the guy that is so, like, from an analytics and film perspective, like, especially just these Texas receivers, like Xavier Worthy checks a lot of the boxes from an analytics perspective, whereas you look at Adonai Mitchell and he doesn't. Like, is that a concern, the production profile from him in college?
It's a huge concern. And it's funny how we could talk ourselves into players. There was a discussion in the Discord yesterday about Mitchell and him going in the first round and him gaining value. But his quarterback sucked was like pretty much what the conversation was about. That's our 25 quarterback two right now. You know, it's like, yeah, that offense was bad, but there was enough hype. I do worry, you know, tape-wise, I had him a lot lower. I mean, going into this, I had him as like my wide receiver 7, right, pre-combine. But, dude, this is why I'm a little bit down on Worthy. I'm a lot higher on Mitchell. It's because of everything we think we have learned since then. You know, I would love to say this is the truth, but we just won't know. But if I have to make a pick today, that's who I'm basing it on.
You could pretty much sweep Mitch's picks there of Mitchell and Worthy, and I think it balances out here. But
yeah,
you know, if A.D. Mitchell walked into the Dynasty Theory studio today, man, at 6'2", 205 with that big body, and there were some big plays on that film that I did like Mitch, I think he's a nice potential find for an NFL team.
I mean, he comes in 4'3", 440, pops off from a speed scores perspective. 21-year-old breakout age, but he also pops off with a 30%+ college dominator. So he has that high ceiling, less than 13% contested target percentages final season, college dominator, which you'd love to see, reception yards per team pass attempt. I would like to see, and this is something I don't know, is like the catchable targets for each of these guys. What does that look like for Adonai Mitchell? Because he's sitting there at that like receiving yard per team pass attempt max of like 1.7, very, very low, like under 30th percentile. But you know, you get the early declare, you get the presumed first round draft capital. And now, like, again, I know we do it every year, but if he lands with Josh Allen, like, people would just go ballistic. Yes.
Yep.
But I think at this point, 203, I have absolutely no issue with an Adonai Mitchell there. And so much of this is going to be determined by landing spot. And I hate to say that, but I was talking about this with Clay over on Dynasty Trades and Five, and I don't think there's a class that I can remember where there's so many guys I have tiered together, especially at this point in the draft, that landing spot and draft capital are really going to be the differentiating factor between 10 of these guys. Like, it really is. And they might stay within the same tier, but movement then within that tier is going to be critical. And I don't remember a year like this. I see some comments on Adonai Mitchell, from NG. Adonai Mitchell has the physical talent, but I question the attitude spirit. You never know which player you're getting from play to play. B Ford, definitely some projection with Mitchell, and I can see a room to grow. Positive case more than I can for other risky guys outside of Coleman, Tez Walker. So like, he's one of those guys that I have turned an eye a little bit to the analytics, and I don't want to say Dan and Mitch are rubbing off on me, but I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, if you will, and buying into him being a difference maker at the next level. All right, Dan, 204.
Yeah, and even before I get to 204, you know, you were a little over the word count, JB. I wanted to slide this in there, but you hopped on the comments, which I liked. NGG, as we look at that, you know, you never know what you get to play to play and the attitude and the spirit. That's part of where we look to see where these guys get drafted. You know, we're hoping these NFL teams are doing the research. They're in the meeting rooms with these kids. They're drawing up plays on the board, seeing how smart they are. You know, they're talking to their coaches. So hopefully we get some of those questions answered through the draft. And shout out to Stranded on Revis Island there for acknowledging that he took Hunter Long over the Sun God in the second round in the past to our conversation. But pride and ownership, man. Hey, we all have those picks from time to time.
Dan, you're doing Stranded dirty because the only people witnessing were on the YouTube stream here. If you're listening on the podcast feed, they would have never known about Stranded's Hunter Long mistake, and you just threw him under the freaking bus, man. All right, you know, Dan, 204, who do you got?
204, man, I'm between, I want to say two guys here, two positions. I'm going to hope someone's going to slide to me with the next pick. I'm going to play it that way, and I'm going to take the last good quarterback on the board and just roll the dice here. Bust it, bust, I don't care. But if it booms, there's a guy we've liked in the past. There's still a chance he goes somewhere good. Give me Bo Nix, man. Just need to find out his NFL stock, and hopefully it's good with this pick.
I certainly prefer Bo Nix at 204 over Michael Penix at 110.
Just after you complimented me last show on the Penix, you're going Nix over him. That is interesting. So, yes. With you saying that,
well,
do six quarterbacks go in the first round in the NFL draft?
No, because can I say now, we're getting even more commentary after. So I went scorched earth on you for the Michael Penix pick at 110.
A little bit.
Then I tucked my tail and I hedged a little bit and gave you a compliment because of some of the positive reports. But now there's even, reports on the other side. Again, reports, I use the air quotes, that they don't have Michael Penix with a first round grade. So maybe how many times can I hedge on the same bet?
Wait till after the draft, and then whatever your post-draft conclusion is the one you'll go with.
That will be the right one. I'm disappointed in his lack of conviction, Mitch. And hey, these sources are the key, JB, man. Like, everyone's just spreading rumors. They want his stock to rise, fall, but you really got to look at the good sources. And the good source here is me, who watched his film and is saying he is going to go even before Bo Nix.
Isn't it kind of funny how, like, all these guys that we've mentioned so far are kind of in the same bucket, right? And you could mix and match where you take them. But John's like, oh, this pick is great. Because we do know the 110 is worth a lot more than the 204 is in Dynasty, right? But is the type of player really that much different than what we're getting at the 110 to the 204? I mean, is it really that much different? In the grand scheme of things, I don't really think it is, but it does matter for Dynasty value. But I'm just like, is Ladd McConkey, who I took at the 112, really worth that much more than Bo Nix at the 204?
Mitch, that's
right now, you know what I mean?
It kind of has me thinking, and a great thing to bring up, because I'm sure we're all getting a lot of trade offers now, and okay, you get a 110 and it's like the stock's here, but then you're getting picks for 201, 202, 203, and you feel like the sky's falling, but it's really not, to your point. And you may have something there to make me think about trades a little bit more.
Right.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong, and I understand your point. And that's why, if you look on the Dynasty Theory Patreon, my tiers, the 2024 rookies, like, I have that bold line in between 109 and 110. Because for me, there is a significant tier break there. Now, does it play out that way ultimately whenever we start to get a year or two down the road? I mean, I'm sure we're going to get guys that go in the second round that outproduce several of these guys taking the first round. We see it with the two mocks or the two redrafts we've done with 2021 and 2022. But as things stand today, it's just, you know, making a bet on the players and the profiles and the potential hit rates and the production we get for fantasy purposes, I feel far more confident in the guys I'm taking at 108 and 109 than I am at 110 and later.
JB, so like you bring up the cliff that I think everybody talks about in trade negotiations. You know, it was 108 for the longest time, and then it's 109. So if it is 109, again, the cliff's there. So now we get this new tier break at 110. And to Mitch's point, it seems to be going up to around 204. So you, depending on who you're looking to trade value-wise, whether you get 110 or 204 in that range, you're getting a pretty good pick.
Yeah, I mean, the case can be made that, and we talked about this on previous episodes, where if I have the 110, 111, 112, maybe I trade back and try to get, like, you know, just sit 203 and 204. Because when you see those trades come through, like Dan said, there is that psychological aspect. Oh, I'm getting offered the 112. Great. Oh, I'm getting offered the 201. I don't know about that.
Exactly.
Like, that's the difference, right?
You see that one and that two, and there is a difference from a psychological perspective. All right. So we got Brooks, we got Benson, we got Mitchell, we got Knicks at 205. 205. I'm trying to see here if I have anybody in one of my tiers above still available. I do not.
Where's the conviction?
There is not much right now. Can I trade back? Do you guys want to trade up?
I know who I'm taking. As long as you don't take.
Will John snipe him? Is my question.
Corum's on my board. Like, he's
I'm not talking about Corum, to be honest. I love Corum, but the issue is nobody else likes him. That's the thing. Like, you guys could have picked him. You both chose not to. And that's what the Dynasty community thinks of Blake Corum right now. So I'm okay playing the long game with him. If one of you guys end up taking him, so be it. But there's actually someone else who I think is going to be worth more value-wise right now until at least we know where Corum goes.
Now I'm intrigued.
Oh, man. I'm not loving it, but I'll go with the scrawny Troy Franklin.
Wow.
That's what I was going to pick, to be honest.
All right.
Was it really? So now, you know, but again, like I hate to give a cop out blanket response here. I like 202 to 211 today, before we know draft capital, before we know landing spots, because there's a big bucket of running backs in that mix. Like, and it's going to get chopped in half. I think once the NFL draft comes around, that's going to be split like 202 to 206, then 207 to 211. So I will have a clear differentiation. But today, give me Troy Franklin. More than anything, I picked him as the thumbnail for today's episode. So I just want to be the one to pick him. But no, you get the speed. You get the production profile. It's going to be interesting because it's like I talked about this a few years ago with Jordan Addison and Kenny Pickett. Like, was it Kenny Pickett that really made Jordan Addison or vice versa? And I said at the time that Jordan Addison made Kenny Pickett a heck of a lot of money. And that kind of played out. So it's going to be interesting to see when it comes to Troy Franklin and Bo Nix, how that plays out. But a lot of people, they're iffy on that BMI. He's like he's a one percentile kind of guy, but we do get the early declare. The reception market share a little bit lower, but the receiving yard market share hits that top bucket for me. You know, so he's definitely right around that 31% receiving yards per team pass attempt, big play potential, creates separation, broke out at the age of 19, eclipsed 30% at 20, 4.41 speed. But again, you look at speed score, it's going to be lacking because of that tiny, tiny frame of his. But I'll go Troy Franklin.
I like that, JB. I like the way he stacks receivers. I like our little Oregon stack. You know, I like that. So I think Mitch needs to take like running back Bucky Irvin of Oregon now to complete the triplets here. Probably not happening, but you know. So Mitch, you got to go with your guy now.
I am. Now it's Blake Corum. Now, like, I was going to hedge on the whole Troy Franklin thing just because I think there's enough hate on Corum from the dynasty community that I probably could have even got him a little bit later. But now for me, it's Blake Corum. For me, the one drawback to him, and the guys on the Athletic podcast brought this up, he has short arms, right? Like, his arms aren't short. They're like tiny, tiny arms. And why it matters for a running back is he's already tiny to begin with. So him in pass protection, when he has to go up and try to block one of the huge defensive ends coming off the side, or
who'd you take? I was reading all the comments.
You're good. You're good. That's what I was doing when you were talking. So I missed everything you said too. I took Blake Corum.
All right.
So like, he's just, you worry, he has everything you want from a pass pro perspective. Like, he has the mentality for it, but he might not actually have the body for it, to where there is a point to where I think NFL coaches could be like, you know, we would love him to be out in pass sets, but we don't know if he physically can hold up. If there's a Clowney coming at him, right? How is a 5'8" dude with short arms going to block that and not like get our quarterback killed or a fumble or something bad happening because of it? So that's why I've been willing to hedge a little bit on my Blake Corum, because I still think he is the best running back in this class. But there's enough from a physical standpoint to where I like him a lot more as a mid second round pick than I did when I was saying, hey, I want him in the first round here a couple months ago.
I like that. You stood by your guy there, Mitch. You know, it's those worries I have too. You know, I watched this film last year. I wasn't really all in, but I think he did the right thing by staying another year. And I mean, the kid's a warrior. He's hard not to like and root for, and hopefully he could find a good role. But with you taking him, that's going to lead me to the other running back that I will take at this pick. And another guy that does have some warts, you know, so there's definitely a risk here, but I just love him. Lloyd, man, out of USC.
I love him too.
Yep. I think he's a beast. He's got some bursts. He's, you know, 4.46 40, a little bit older, 23. JB may hate on him a little bit, but he had a good Senior Bowl, and I just think NFL, some team's going to, you know, love him enough to give him a good opportunity, and I'm going to roll with that.
You mentioned the age, and, you know, there's going to be an asterisk next to these guys that, you know, playing through the COVID season, and now with the NIL money, like, kids are going to be staying if they're making money, they're having fun, they're still in school. So I think the age aspect, it's not going to be as critical as maybe it was in years prior. So moving forward, you know, especially at wide receiver, you get these guys, even if they're 23 years old, if they're going in the first round of the NFL draft, that hit rate really is not significantly different than if they were 22. Again, trying to catch up on some of the comments here, but you take Lloyd at 207. I have him in this bucket here. The speed is a little concerning here, guys.
I'm worried on who you're picking here.
Audric.
Oh, thank God. Oh, oof. I was worried.
Oh, you're...
If you like that speed is going to knock him down by many people. I see a comment in the chat from Cole in the Discord about something we talked about earlier. But 5'11", 221, the rush attempt market share, he can withstand the workload. He was efficient. Again, he gives you enough in the passing game. He checks the box from a minimum threshold standpoint. You know, collegiate average 6.2 yards per carry. Like, this dude is a tank. And I think he goes in the third round of the NFL draft, probably late third, but I think he does go in the second round, despite that, the lack of speed. People made the mistake with Kyren Williams. I made the mistake with Kyren Williams. I'm not going to let a slow Notre Dame running back fool me again. Give me Audric Estime here at the 208.
There's parts of his film that I really liked, JB, and then there's other parts that I'm like, does this translate to the NFL? And I just don't know that. So where he gets drafted is going to be, I think, very, very telling. You're either going to feel really good about this pick, JB, or it's going to be one of them that you're going to be really mad about.
But again, at the 208, and I like the pick with Lloyd as well at the 207, that you get these guys, their bodies, they're NFL ready, and they're going to be able to withstand I'm scrolling through my phone on my rookie prospect stuff because I don't want to upset Mitch and have my internet bogged down by getting another sheet up on the screen here. So I'm navigating through my phone. So that's why I'm kind of pausing a little bit, but you get these guys that they're NFL ready. All right. These are solid frames that we're talking about, and they give you the production. They give you the boxes checked, especially things that I'm looking at. So I really like Estime. I really like Lloyd at the 207, 208. I'm not saying I hate Corum. All right.
You just don't like him.
I like the Lloyd and Estime picks a little bit better at this point in time.
Of course, you hate every pick that I make, and it's fine. You can hate this upcoming pick. But as the sixth running back coming off the board here, I'm going to get the one who has the same upside as everyone else we've already mentioned, and more so in Jalen Wright. I know John hates him because, like, you talk about a passing receiving game profile. He doesn't have one because they just don't throw to running backs. I think he had, like, what is it? He had 30 total catches, but 22 of them came in this past season to where he had 8 total his first 2 years. But dude has the speed, right? I think there's enough there to where I think he ends up going over Marshawn Lloyd. I think he gets drafted over Audric Estime. And I love, like, you asked me who my favorite running back in this class is outside of Blake Corum. It's Marshawn Lloyd because of the way that he runs. Like, I love him, but I think NFL-wise, I think we're going to see Jalen Wright get drafted before those other two backs do.
I don't know, like, man. There's no argument here. Like, there are issues with these profiles. You know, you go through all of them, and you know what? I got to pull the tab up because I can't sit here and go through on my phone.
Oh no. Okay. Well, John's going to be glitching for the next 5 minutes. What do you think about Wright, Dan?
I go back to the Georgia game again, just because you're playing D1 talent, and I always watch those games being a Georgia fan, and like I think he'd easily fall in love with his speed. He ripped off a touchdown like the first series of that game, and holy cow, I was like, who is this cat, man? He's like a rocket, but then he disappeared the whole rest of the game. So like, is he, you know, I don't know, is there a certain scheme he fits in? And I think you're right, Mitch. I think someone will fall in love with that speed or something, and he might just get drafted high enough for this to be a solid pick, but I'm just a little apprehensive of maybe the overall potential. So I think I would take him in a situation like you are, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, late second round, yeah. I'm gonna take a dice on this freak athlete, but I would not reach at him at any point. Like that would be my buyer beware for anyone. I just don't see the big upside there.
I get it. And with him, I just look at how the dynasty community treated Keaton Mitchell, right? He had like 4 or 5 good NFL plays this past year. And everyone's like, oh, you need to go get him on our rosters. And it's like, probably not. But if that's how people react to speed on the field, you know, on Sundays, then that's something I'm going to try to account for in the rookie drafts as well.
I like that.
I got the sheet up here, guys. So okay. Don't worry. I don't have to maneuver on my phone. But I'm looking. So I have my rookie data, and I have the running back data here that I look at in the spreadsheet, and then you put everything in and it's spitting out my post and pre-draft score. So I'm looking at it from a post-draft score perspective here with the, you know, expected estimated draft capital for these guys. And out of the guys taken, just from that score alone, okay, this is not with any subjectivity but Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, Audric Estime are in the top bucket for me. Again, I would not take Estime with those. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm advocating. But just from a score perspective, and then I have one other guy in there that has not been picked yet, so I'm not going to say it. But then I have in the next bucket, Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, and another guy that has not been picked. And then in the following bucket, that's where I have Jalen Wright. I would not have taken him quite yet.
You hate my picks, John. You hate it. No, but how are we going to co-manage leagues if we can't agree on a single pick in two rounds of an NFL mock rookie draft?
You need the final boss.
There we go. Hey, Dan, yeah, you're coming in.
But you look at Jalen Wright, like these guys that even if he would go day three, like you look at the guys that could potentially pop and you look at the speed score, like it could be, and this is like a Isaac Arendo where like, okay, maybe he's this year's Isaiah Pacheco. Draft capital was lacking, but he gives you the speed score. He gives you the pop. And maybe that's something Jalen Wright, 4.38, 40, 114 speed score. College dominator receiving
zero.
It's super low. And of course, I have him in red there. But I talked about the yards per carry looking at Audric Estime. Jalen Wright's right there. He actually, like, here's the thing with Jalen Wright. His reception market share was not that bad. Like, it wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. It kind of checked in the middle box for me. But it was the receiving yard market share and the receiving touchdown market share. He didn't have a receiving touchdown his entire collegiate career. So then you look at the college dominator, and that's weighted based on yards and touchdowns, not the receptions themselves. So he was involved in the passing game, just not in the two stats that we look at for the college dominator. The efficiency compared to the rest of the team, it could have been a little bit better. The rush yards per team rush attempt could have been better. We didn't see him having to really withstand that large dude loves the sheets. I mean, you gotta pick up that thread count. Like we really do. Like it's the sheets. It's all about the thread count, but Mitch is like, what are we doing here, guys?
Count or word count? Which one? I'm not sure.
Both. Yeah. Okay. Both. Because I'm going through now that I'm not on my phone. I'm like, okay, I can see my sheets, but like, why didn't he get that much work in college at Tennessee? Like why?
Because that offense is this, like it's like the college offense that like is good because it works, but it's like going and watching high school games to someone runs this absolute gimmicky thing that doesn't translate to anything else. That's the Tennessee offense. That offense doesn't translate to the NFL at all. Like it just doesn't. It is like bells and whistles galore.
And I mean, you could look at it, maybe that like Jalen Hyatt. Was it Cedric Tillman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Hendon Hooker. Like, yeah. So,
hey, Hooker's going to be all right. Don't you worry about him. I have his jersey. We'll
leave life. The Lions we'll alone. See.
But this is why, like, I'm one tier lower on Jalen Wright. All right, Dan, right. 210, did you go?
I'm up. I'm on the clock here.
Who are we talking about now? I don't know.
I don't know what we've talked about the last 8 minutes, to be honest with you, but we're on the 210 now.
You know, it's just what you said, Mitch. He does not like your picks, and he overanalyzed Jalen Wright and just ignored all of my picks. His pick right before has even more warts, but that's okay. Some good data for our listeners. But I'm going to take us out of the running back bucket here. There is another running back, as you mentioned, JB, I think, in the bucket that I'm tempted to take. But I'm going to go a different direction, and that direction, you know, in real life might be wide receiver because there's a bunch of them here that could be juicy. But I'm going to go off of that board, too, and I'm going to go to tight end, man. It may or may not be a reach, but to me, he's the only other tight end that I'm really intrigued by. I think he's a clear number two. This is a tight end premium mock draft, right?
2.0, yes, sir. Two PPR.
That's who I wanted.
So if you're going to get some rookie that's going to give you a shot and you need help at tight end, here's your guy, man. Where'd he go on my board? Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, man. He just got a nice frame, solid hands, a nasty stiff arm. I think he's still going to, you know, grow physically and hopefully become enough of a blocking tight end to get some good volume on the field.
I I have Jatavion Sanders still in a few Devy leagues, and like he's one we talk about with Xavier Worthy. Like nothing has really changed over the last few weeks, but you see folks in the industry, in you know, from an NFL perspective, in their actual, you know, their mock drafts and how they have these prospects ranked from an NFL perspective. Jatavion Sanders seems to be one that continues to slip. And I have Jatavion Sanders as my tight end too, but in the words of Mitch, it's kind of by default at this point.
I mean, it really is.
Like you could look at Ben Sinnott, like you could look at some of these other guys.
Cade
Yeah, you could look at Cade Stover, Jaheim Bell. I know he's kind of popping off for some people. Jared Wiley, I think it's just kind of a different spelling, but Jared, Josh Wiley, I just like the last name Wiley. Maybe that's it for me. Theo Johnson, but it's kind of a default thing for me. And like, why is Jatavion Sanders, why does he continue to kind of sour across, potentially across NFL circles? So whereas I saw him going early to mid second, potentially, I think there's a very good chance we could see him slip to late day two. And again, that's not a, like, especially for tight ends, it's not a death sentence. Like you get these guys fourth, fifth round draft capital. It's not, you know, it's not as critical to get that early draft capital, but you tie in athleticism, you look at all the other stuff there. And for Jatavion Sanders, I think he's the tight end too. But there is that, there's that big gap, okay?
I think you need to separate that. I think you got to separate that a little bit there, because you're like Debbie Downer to the listeners here with my Sanders pick. Like I know there's
Debbie,
a big,
I'm not Debbie Downer.
There's a big drop off, JB, but that's not the reason to take him here. Like I think he's a good tight end prospect that might get drafted in the second round.
You look at the RAS, the relative athletic score. Athleticism, and I saw there was a tweet, there was a thread about it recently, but that is a critical part here for the most part. Like it's not everything, but it is something that you look at with these tight end prospects, and he's coming at 802, 806 for RAS. Like sure, there's guys that hit below that, but the hit rate is far less likely when you look at top six, top eight upside. I don't see it at this point with Jatavion Sanders. I thought he was going to test a little bit better overall, and I thought he was going to be more highly sought after in the NFL. And maybe that plays out that way. Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but I disagree a little bit on this one.
I'd be curious where his scores rank among others. And then also just, again, if I can get out of the sheets into the game film, he just seems to find those open pockets in the zone and find those open areas he looks athletic on film to me and is going to be the number two tight end in the draft.
He's athletic enough, but you also have him playing with Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, who are drawing how much attention. I think that's sure he's finding spots in the zone, but what can he do beyond that?
We've seen Alabama tight ends that have had weapons around them and haven't done, or Ohio State tight ends, you know, that might not have done what he kind of did at Texas. And I don't think we need him to be a top six, eight tight end to hit at this pick. I need him to get in the conversation of relevancy of tight end, of, you know, being a stable roster, you know, producer year to year. He could be 12 to 14 and I'm happy.
I need John to pick here because I have a take, but I have to wait to see who John's taking here.
Hold on. Going back.
He just spent 45 more minutes.
He's still fired up.
Going back to 2003, these are all of the tight ends.
Okay.
With a RAS, a relative athletic score, that were at Jatavion Sanders 8.06 or lower. And so again, 2003. That's quite some time. Dan was a young buck back at that time. All right. These are the guys that have had top 12 seasons, multiple top 12 seasons.
2003, I don't know. You're in a different era of passing.
Multiple top 12 seasons. Okay. Zach Ertz, Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, Mark Andrews, Dalton Schultz, Hunter Henry, Eric Ebron, Zach Miller, Brent Celek, Julius Thomas, Brandon Pettigrew, Cameron Brate, JerMichael Finley, Jordan Reed.
That's pretty good.
That's a good group.
But that is it to post multiple top 12 seasons.
How many tight ends have had multiple top 12 seasons is my question.
Well, that's a good answer, and let me get that for you.
Oh, no. That was more rhetorical than it was
No. Now this is the bucket. So, hold on.
John's in the silk sheets John right now, so man. These are expensive right sheets here.
His pants are off. He's having a great time.
So let me do some filters here. Oh man, you're speaking my language. Let's look at
this is riveting stuff.
But I want to talk about let's just look at guys drafted in the first five rounds. So I'll even get rid of the UDFAs. So
there wasn't even a passing league in 2003. I like a little maybe a more current 5-year trend or something, you know.
Okay, that's going to look even worse then.
I mean, you got guys like Ferguson in Dallas and McBride who's popped up, and I don't know.
Okay, let's remove these guys that were drafted. Zach Ertz, take him off the list. Kyle Rudolph, take him off the list. Eric Ebron, Zach Miller, Brent Celek, Julius Thomas, Brandon Pettigrew. Take all of them off the list then.
Well, tight end's not a prosperous position here, JB. I mean, we're talking an opportunity to get a starting tight end at 210 in a premium league that has some upside, looks good, you know, good on film.
There's too much upside elsewhere, even in two PPR for me right now, to want to take Jatavion Sanders with the guys that are available.
I can see that. There are some receivers that were juicy there. There was one more running back in the bucket, but I didn't want to hit that cliff. If I need a tight end, I was taking it.
John, make your pick.
Make your pick, John.
All right. And I will dive deeper into this because I know people are on the edge of their seats in the Dynasty Theory Discord today. With some
hey, adjust your mic.
What's wrong?
There you go.
You went distant for a second.
Yeah, if you talk like this on the mics, they don't work all that great. You got like, there you go.
You wore your mic out.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah, you're great now. Yeah.
Okay. You got to let me know.
Right. I literally did. That's cool, though.
No. I mean, like, if it ever happens, let me know. Keep it coming. I'm all frazzled because of the Sanders. And you guys didn't let me talk about him. I barely got any words in. All right. So Blake Corum, he's gone. Marshawn Lloyd, he's gone. Estime, he's gone. Penix, he was long gone. Adonai Mitchell, Troy Franklin. I have 1, 2, 3 guys I would still take here before Jatavion Sanders.
All right. That's you fair. Still haven't taken anybody.
Mitch and I both got the point 3 minutes ago.
Piss off. I'll take Ricky Pearsall.
Dude is like, I was talking about being 42 earlier. He is like 41 and a half. Oof.
How old is Pearsall? Can we have a confirmation
he's
there,
JB? He's had 5 years.
He's 23.
Which is probably why he's a riser because of that age, Mitch. And he had a good Senior Bowl week. So, yeah. You know,
I think
they said he looked the best out of them. But to Mitch's point, he's old enough where he should look like the best receiver at the Senior Bowl.
He's like Jamar Chase, just not in the NFL for 3 years.
So after all that ran over my tight end, JB,
but he's still
old guys in dynasty.
He broke out of the age of 20. So yes, he's been in college a little bit longer. And Mitch, how many times have we had the age conversation where I'm like, oh great, it's a grown man beating up on these 18, 19 year old kids on the field, and you're like,
here's my favorite thing. I was hoping John would take him, to be honest. It was my hope. Let me bring up John's draft after John killed us for all of our draft picks. John has drafted today Troy Franklin, Trey Benson, Audric Estime, and Ricky Pearsall.
Stud.
Yeah. One good one, Mitch. One
None
good
of
one.
Them have any blemishes at all.
They're perfect. They're perfect but in the sheets.
That is why they are going in the second round here. I'm not saying
that. But we draft second rounders and you kill us for it.
I mean, I just want to make sure we're all being reasonable human beings here and we don't have unrealistic expectations.
How come you're not killing any of your picks?
Why would I?
It's glorious. But no, like I completely get the Ricky Pearsall. I didn't realize he was like the fifth year college guy until I looked him up this morning just to make sure. But I mean, I get it at this point in the draft, and he does seem to be getting that much hype to be going in the mid second for whatever reason. I'm really interested to see how the NFL views him. If he is, if he ends up being the third round guy, or if he's more of a fifth round guy.
I just want to read some of the names in the chat, whether just being asked about or maybe the, you know,
talk about the guy I'm going to draft.
Well, who are you taking here? Wrap it up.
Take us home, Mitch. Take us home.
So if I was making the pick, I would go Polk right now. But I think the proper value is still going on Keon Coleman. I know we brought this guy up in the pivot point, like David Bell, right? David Bell was that hyped guy for us all pre-draft. And then the NFL didn't like him. That could be what happened with Keon Coleman, where everyone was so high on him back in March.
Very different profiles.
I know it's profiles, but I'm not talking about how they're actually going to be in the NFL. I'm just talking about their hype as a rookie in March. And now maybe we're seeing the same thing to where the dynasty community really liked him and the NFL is, you know, not as high. And so we're kind of equaling that out. But I think right now, Keon Coleman is still, look, man, he's that basketball player who could play football. There is someone who's going to buy into it. I bet he's a second round pick in the NFL draft, and you're not going to be getting him at the 212 here in 3 weeks.
JB in his sheets like David Bell, Mitch. So take it easy. All right.
My bad.
Keon, you're going home. You're taking us out of the second round with Keon.
I think so. Yeah. The one I want is Polk. I think Polk is really, really good, but I mean, you could get him at the end of third in mocks right now.
All right. So Dan, who have we left off, or maybe, you know, obviously we can't squeeze them into the top 24, but you think should be on some, well, no, I don't want to have that conversation because next week we're doing the third and fourth round.
I was going to say, you're going to spoil it.
I have one.
I think you got to leave those juicy picks.
I don't want to
show, don't you? Because I think we all got a few guys that we're probably thinking, they could have, should have went in a second.
Yeah, if we weren't doing next week's show, I would say let's get into that. But just a few names to get on people's radar that are in the chat here. Not from me. Javon Baker was mentioned. Roman Wilson was mentioned. Jalen Polk was mentioned. Mitch, you mentioned him as well. So guys that we should be getting to next week. And then, man, I still got, I'm not going to say names, but I do have one. I have two guys that are in my top 24 that are still available.
Mm-hmm. There's one running back, and I'm pretty sure it's the one that Dan was talking about. And he's like, if I was gun to head making a pick, I would probably go him just because his upside could be so high. But he could also be a sixth round pick. You know, it's kind of tough with him.
Same as the running backs we all took in the second round. Yeah. Like that mid second round point there where we had that little Corum Lloyd and JB's Notre Dame boy and Jalen Wright. And like, no way all those guys are going to go high.
Right.
No way.
Right. Yep.
I like how we're having this conversation at this point, not naming the names.
And everyone knows who we're talking about.
Alluding to certain players. But I mean, we'll get to it. Get to it.
Final thoughts.
All right. We are getting ever so close to the 2024 NFL draft. I already have both streams created that are available on the Dynasty Theory YouTube channel. So subscribe, set your notification if you want to join us live. Mitch and I will be on that Thursday, 7:30 Eastern time. Draft starts at 8. That Friday, we'll be on at 6 Eastern. Draft starts at 7, so we'll be doing a little bit of a recap. Dan, you got obligations. You and your son watching the draft. That's fantastic.
We'll crash the party, though. I promise we'll crash the party and join you at some point, you know?
Mitch might have a problem with that because we want to spit some of these out on the feed. I threw you under the bus. On the feed, we can't have you with TVs glaring in the in the background.
So the mute button's for, you know? So.
Dan with the mute button during the draft party doesn't always
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. No. I'll do my best.
Not at all.
You're good.
Anyway, Mitch, do you like how I threw you under the bus?
You do. That was nice. I like it. It's fair.
I agree, though. Dan's TV is so freaking obnoxious when we watch it. Because he's like 10 minutes ahead, too.
And then we get multiple TVs. So that's the other problem. You try to mute one, but then the other one's still on. And then, you know, different channels with analysis. It's a fun day.
All right. for the 241st time, talking about rookie mock draft round two. Next week, we're going to talk about 3 and 4, talk about some of our favorite guys in those rounds. Dan, what do you got for our listeners' final thoughts?
Man, my only final thought is just, you know, stay active in our Discord. If you're drafting now or preparing post-draft, you know, I think you got to really consider those sources that JB's getting his information from. You know, who knows what at this point other than the teams. Their draft boards are made up, but no one's going to come out and say who they're taking. You know, hopefully you paid attention to our past episodes and what players are visiting teams. Normally they're in the clumps of position. Like, for example, my Cowboys, they got a lot of O-line coming to visit. They got a lot of running backs that are coming to visit. So they're kind of telling us what positions they're probably going to draft. If you can get that kind of information, it may help you in your drafts.
Mitch, what do you got?
Don't do a startup right now. That's all I'm going to say. Well, I will say don't start one right now, because the drafts usually take about 3 weeks to finish, right, on normal timers and all that. So there's a very good chance there's going to be someone on the clock during the rookie draft, and the value you could get by just sitting on that clock and waiting for a pick, whether you trade out of that draft slot or you actually make a pick because someone in the NFL, you know, an NFL team drafts that player. It's just for the next 2 weeks, stay away from startups, because if you aren't the one that happens to be on the clock, that person can just tie it up for that night. Then all of a sudden that pick and value is worth that much more to her. If you wait till after the draft, you don't have to worry about that at all.
There you go. Hopefully you all enjoyed today's episode. We'll be back next Sunday. Like I said, rounds 3 and 4. For Mitch Sorensen, Dan LaMagna, I'm John Bauer. Have a great week. Mm-hmm.